I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hristo Stoichkov, Lecrae's run starts from. He split them. He split the sea.
Yeah.
Comes from miles outside the box and then just passes it bottom corner.
Love, love, love. Love, love, love.
No, that comes later anyway. There's nothing you can do that can't be done, Seb. And there's nothing you can sing that can't be sung. And there's nothing you can say but you can learn how to play the game, James. It's easy.
All you need is love, Seb. All you need is love. Love.
Seb is all you need. Hello and welcome to Reminding You Why You Love Football. Tommy, don't talk over me. You've put it in the notes. Shut up. A podcast hosted by me, Owen Blackhurst. We have had a life-affirming message slip into our DMs recently, and that is why we are singing All You Need Is Love by The Beatles. Seb's second favourite band from Liverpool, surprisingly. Hey guys, greetings from Nairobi. I'm not sure if I'm your only fan based in Nairobi. Brackets, I actually doubt it. You're not, I've checked. But I'm pretty sure I'm your biggest fan from these parts. I've been listening to Mundar for the past couple of years since COVID, when I became obsessed with the Giants series, as you should, it was very good. I had the Ian Wright episode saved on my Spotify downloads for months and would occasionally listen to it on repeat when I had nothing else to listen to. When RYWYLF, that's us, started, I have to admit I was sceptical. But one morning, while reviewing contracts at work, brackets, a lawyer, it stumbled into my podcast rotation. I haven't looked back since.
We were sceptical too, to be fair.
Do you know what? He's got it bang on. If I'm being perfectly honest, I wasn't a fan initially, but a couple of episodes in and the Baggio episode made me take notice.
Yeah.
What happened on the Baggio episode?
It was just us four?
Correct. We used Riverside, so actually it didn't sound like we'd recorded from Tommy's pants.
Yeah. Oh, God. That
back to Nairobi. The four-episode run from Maradona's Law to the Hamzik episode made me a true fan. The Rashidi Yekini and Dr. Kamalo episodes, though, were some of your best work. I would agree. Maybe it's because I'm African and we don't hear stories of some of these cult footballers from the continent, but they were beautiful stories and beautifully told.
Oh.
P.S. The singing bits during We Support These and Mascots of the World, I absolutely love them.
Yes.
Hopefully we get a chance to get back to Bollywood soon. And that's why we sang All You Need Is Love, because of this beautiful review from Nairobi. I'm not sure how much I can quantify how much we love hearing stuff like this. If this is your first time, then we might not have a celebrity name attached, no matter what Tommy tells his mates. We don't really do this full time, and Athletic Greens don't seem to want to sponsor us. The broccoli powdering wankers.
Just anyway. For the listeners, this isn't all in the same DM from the guys from my
this is me now. But what we do, we don't get powdered broccoli, but we reach people's hearts on every continent, and you cannot manufacture that.
Yeah.
Joining me today to spread the love far and wide are James Paul Christian Bird, Sebastian Dennis White, and Thomas Andrew Stewart, otherwise known as the Goblin, the Gooser, and Tankman.
Tankman.
A trio of men I would go into battle with, but wouldn't invite round for dinner at the same time.
Yes.
All you need is Seb. Fucking hell, right?
I don't know
the Beatles.
No, I do. I was just enjoying it.
You can't sing.
It's quite nice someone's singing a song about me.
The one thing you can do is the bloody mouth trumpet.
Go on.
Let's go again. All you need is Seb. All you need is Seb. All you need is Seb.
Seb.
Seb is all you need. That's it.
Perfect.
We are 4.9 on Apple, 5-star on Spotify. We cannot sing, but this is Reminding You Why You Love Football, a part of the Acast Creator Network. Let's get it.
Someone's had a fucking flat white on the way in, haven't they?
No, someone else who just can't let air be dead. Assad was there last week, couldn't do it. You're here today.
Do you know what?
Seemed to be wearing his cords.
Do you know what? I don't think any of us can.
Adventures in Clubland. Right then, Adventures in Clubland this week, Indian Summer's Loans and Last Chance Saloons. It is me. Aye. It's not me. We are not talking about my spell for Werfield in the 90s. Or a little spell playing with Bill Clinton at British Gas. We're not talking about that. All my time playing for Dare Agency in the Advertising Five-A-Side League when I picked up quite a few yellow cards. We're not talking about any of those things. We're talking about Hristo Stoichkov because today, the day this podcast is out, it's his birthday. There are loads of places we could have gone with Stoichkov. Easy one would be Barca, but I wrote about him in the magazine recently. We were going to go to his managerial career because of some wonderful YouTube interviews that Seb found. And we've talked a little bit about him at Chicago Fire before. So I thought we would go right back to the start and bookend his career in Bulgaria. So he'd played third division football. He wasn't like an instant prodigy, but he'd scored a decent amount of goals in the third division, got a move to CSKA, traditionally one of the two biggest teams in Bulgaria. And his career was nearly over before it started. In the 1985 Bulgarian Cup final, a violent match between CSKA and Levski, which caused ruction upon ruction upon ruction. They both had to change their names after the game. Such was the ferocity of it. Players were handed fucking different bans. Stoichkov wasn't sent off in the game, but was banned for life after it.
What?
For his part in the ructions, yeah. And it was only afterwards that his ban was overturned. People thought he was done.
Wow.
Gonzo.
Who's banned him then? Their FA?
The Bulgarian FA, yeah. Who, in the late, you know, in the mid to late 80s, let's say was still a little bit authoritarian.
Yeah.
Well, they were also, one of the cup trophies he won three times with CSKA Sofia was called the Soviet Army Cup. Different times.
Different times.
Different times. But what he did do was, as you would expect for Hristo Stoichkov, score a lot of goals. And it's safe to say he blazed a fucking trail across Europe. And CSKA were in Cup Winners' Cups and Champions Leagues and stuff like that. So he got seen a lot. In 1989-90, he won the European Golden Shoe. He scored 38 goals in 30 games and 48 overall or something fucking bananas. But it was two goals he scored against Barcelona, which led to Johan Cruyff signing him. And I think you've all seen it now. James might not have, but there is a chip he scores in a European game against Barcelona. Oh. And he gets released, I believe, by Emil Kostadinov.
Yeah.
Who would also play with him in that great Bulgarian team who beat Germany at USA 94. And he gets released. It's a very old school 80s offside trap he manages to break. And you remember that one when Maradona breaks the AC Milan offside trap? It's very similar to that. It's not as fast forward and mental, but it's not far.
He's got half a pitch to himself.
But this is the best bit. He could just really waltz around the keeper if he wants. Zubizarreta comes running out to about the edge of his box. Yep. Stoichkov doesn't take a touch. He doesn't go round him. He doesn't do anything apart from just fucking stab the ball and hit the most fucking delightful chip that floats over the keeper and rolls in and off he's gone. And do you know what? James hasn't seen it and James likes a goal, so I'm going to show him.
I quite like goals.
It's lovely. Oh. It reminds you know how Assad said Griezmann fucks it in? This is fucking...
No.
See, I didn't...
That's how you chip a ball, Tommy. I know. We know you didn't spend a lot of time on the pitch as a kid.
Every game that season. Every game I played.
Little Tommy Warm-Up, they called him.
It's not true.
He's a real
tough man. It's not true.
Can't chip the ball in one of those big sub suits, can you? They're too heavy.
It wasn't the clubman of the year. It was the manager's player of the year.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is the club? Anyway.
There was literally a most improved vote, which I didn't win. I won the manager.
It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Seb will see it.
Rumour. Childhood. This is coming up.
Seb will see it again. Right.
Oh, no, they filmed it on a potato. Time. Oh. It's not. It's not fucking it in. It's cuddling it in.
I misremembered it.
Everything you need to know about Hristo Stoichkov, you can see in these two goals.
These two, yeah.
Anyone not been able to watch this, it's a beautiful chip from a wonderful player. He's already wearing number 8. It's a Hall of Fame CSKA away Adidas kit with no sponsor on it. It's like something you might turn up and just see on the marshes on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Just some team of brickies wearing.
Yeah.
And one of them's got blue socks on and they all fucking hate him for it. But they can't say anything because he's the artist. Now, he gets a penalty. You never see this anymore.
No.
I cannot remember seeing this for years, if I've ever seen it before. So Stoichkov gets a penalty. He puts the ball down and he starts to walk back. And the Barcelona players are crowing at him on the edge of the box. He doesn't stop in the box. At the fucking way, you. Look where his run starts from. Go on, fuck off. He split them. He split the sea.
Yeah.
Comes from miles outside the box and then just passes it bottom corner.
Yeah.
And I feel quite lucky in that I stopped liking football for about 2 or 3 years, bit because of Graeme Souness being Liverpool manager and it just all went to shit. He sold all my childhood heroes.
Mm.
A bit sort of my parents got divorced and I wasn't really into it. And a bit I was just raising hell. So football didn't really come in to fit into that, the narrative of my life at the time. You know, you can't play much football when you're chain smoking Benson and Edges with 16-year-olds, can you? However, when I came back to it, there was an explosion of Kappa kits and shit like this.
The dream team and stuff, yeah.
But I just, Stoichkov, nicknamed the Dagger. Oh. And, fucking hell, imagine, what's your nickname? The Dagger. Yeah. I mean, imagine how much you'd like to be called the Dagger instead of Birdo.
Or or Goblin.
Yeah. Or Tank Man. Tank Man's pretty good, actually.
I was, what they called me on that thing was Benevolent Dictator. It's not even a nickname, it's just a thing. Oh, in the Benevolent Dictator Blackhurst. Hardly fucking rolls off the tongue, does
benevolent
it?
Benevolent Dictator.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's
it's just a fact.
No, it is just a fact. It is just a fact. You know, I'll explain to anyone who's listening to this, if you want to look behind the scenes, there can be no democracy in content. There can be democracy to a point, but at some point there's got to be a, you know, there's got to be a single view. Democracy doesn't work. We know that.
Reminding you why I love military history takes a turn.
Exactly. I didn't used to think this until...
That's exactly the kind of thing that a benevolent dictator would say, isn't it?
Correct.
The democracy doesn't work.
But benevolent.
Yeah. Sort of familiar, that sort of rhetoric.
And I bet you Stoichkov knows all about benevolent dictators growing up in the block.
Under the communist jackboot.
Yeah. Democracy doesn't work. You guys don't need a say in things.
Oh, no, you can have a say.
Yeah.
I just won't take any notice.
Yeah. Anyway, I've got your best interests at heart.
Back to Stoichkov. Back to Stoichkov. Yes. It's always you cannot say the name Hristo Stoichkov without saying brooding. So let's get it out of the way. The brooding striker now. Yeah. I love everything about him. He looks like he's straight out of a Western, matchstick in the corner of the mouth, 5 o'clock shadow, hat. Mm. And he's such a good footballer. And there's a YouTube video titled Kids These Days Don't Know Stoichkov, which is true. And I sort of feel like I'm now, or we're on a mission to A, find players like Dr. Kamalo and talk about them, and B, make sure that Stoichkov, people know he had a career before Barcelona and what came last, but what came after that. I mean, look, he went on to win the Ballon d'Or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Him and Romario are playing up front together as holder of the Ballon d'Or and the FIFA World Player of the Year, because Mario couldn't win that. Stoichkov finished second to him in the FIFA World Player of the Year while he held the Ballon d'Or. So he was mustard. I mean, the 94 World Cup is his high point, and what they did, you know, they had a keeper who wore a wig.
Boris.
Boris Mihailov, yeah. A keeper who wore a wig.
Reading legend.
A second striker who should have worn a wig. Jordan Lechkov.
Oh, yes.
And Bulgaria and his blistering free kicks. But there was Stoichkov's touch. If fans of the Ronaldinho catching the ball on his chest, Stoichkov used to do that all the time.
Right.
But he would roam. He wasn't constrained to just being a central striker. He would roam right, he would roam left, he would drop deep. He had a beautiful passing range, like a classic left foot traction engine and can opener and magic wand all in one.
Yeah.
And I just love him. He's the, like, he would be, if I was sitting down to write top five footballers who had the most impact on me, I would say aesthetically and emotionally and everything that's good about football as a teenager, not as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
As a kid, it's different because it's the team you support, right? And you might like a few other people.
Of course,
Seb loves.
So you're saying he's in there, top five?
Stoichkov for me.
Yeah.
Oh, straight in, mate.
That comes across on...
Straight in.
I mean, I'm not just saying this. Sounds like something that one of the oppressed people would say to a dictator, but Owen's piece in this latest is genuinely brilliant, and it's great writing. It sums those two players up brilliantly, particularly Stoichkov. And I think I'll go back to my own memory of Stoichkov was, and Owen mentioned very briefly there about the Kappa kits. Now, whoever went on holiday around that time, so your Mallorcas or your Mallorcas or your Portugals or something like that, you would see...
Your Mallorcas.
Your Mallorcas.
Your Marbellas.
Your Ibizas. You would see these, shall we say, well, hooky Barcelona shirts.
Yeah.
But instead of the Kappa logo, it would just be diamonds. And it would either be Stoichkov or Romario. And done, this was obviously in the days really when before the names and numbers were like a unified thing where it all looked the same.
Mm.
It just looked like they'd done it on word art, you know. And I remember it had a box around the name Stoichkov, and then it was, those were good days.
It was also,
those were good days.
And I did write about this in the cult issue, but for anyone listening who doesn't read it, it was also where he met Trifon Ivanov, who was the captain of the Sunderland Iron All Stars in our cold tissue, and they Stoichkov was. They were very, very, very good mates. They played in a few wonderful victories over Levski. One famous 5-0 when Ivanov scored, and the Wolfman and the Dagger. And then when Ivanov died, Stoichkov played in a charity game and held his mate's shirt up, and he was seen crying and talking to him over the coffin at the funeral. It's quite a powerful image. But what he's also got is, and I have to say this because there's got to be balance in journalism, and this isn't some dodgy views. It's his clothing range.
Get in.
What?
Can we do a collab, please?
What is... I have no idea.
Some real Tommy Stew gear, this.
Is it? So really cool. Really class clothes.
Zipped cardigans, that sort of malarkey. I have no idea what you're going to...
That's not me.
No, it's not you.
I'm not Logan Roy.
No.
He's got the lot.
I had no idea.
Sports suits, sweatshirts, sports bottoms, T-shirts, jackets, shorts and Bermuda shirts, blouses, sweaters, shirts, jeans, swimwear.
Oh, swimwear.
Look at Seb's trainers.
Skis.
And accessories. So
imagine rocking up to your Mallorcas, your Marbella's and a pair of Stoichkov swim shorts.
Yeah, so. I did not know this.
Let's just pick one section. Where would we like to go? I think we sort of know what's up here. I would like us to maybe gravitate towards the sweaters and blouses.
Yeah, blouses.
Head in.
Blouses, I think, you know.
They're not blouses.
27 blouses he's got.
They're not blouses.
He means tops.
They're not women's tops, though. They're just high necks. So blouses much mean something different. 8Hristo.com. Now, we should probably show some of these. Let's have a look at the socks, shall we?
There's more than a hint of Burton here, isn't there?
Yeah.
Well, what has happened?
Terry Burton.
2005, Burton.
What has happened is he's either been gifted a factory in lieu of some wages.
This is...
Or he's ended up buying a factory and they produce all of this, so he's just put his logo on everything. Ooh, mummy.
Is that a gold chain?
If someone doesn't get me
the
gilded plate necklace with a leather strap.
Whoa.
I can see it.
This is like fucking supermarket sweep for Gareth Ainsworth.
This is incredible.
Yeah, lads.
Oh.
We are looking at a sock.
Hang on. Stop the clocks.
Why has it got a Wi-Fi signal in the sock?
Well, it's a baggy sock, isn't it? That?
It's a card holder.
Yes,
it is. A card holder.
In your sock?
That sock is to sneak drugs into festivals.
Yes, it is.
I think it's for a knife, James.
Yeah.
I think Hristo Stoichkov would have kept a knife in that and he would silently puncturing the rib cages of defenders.
Who wants to... Someone describe what it is for the listeners.
It's the worst sock ever.
Yes.
It's black with a white Google... With a white Excel spreadsheet on it.
Yeah.
With all the data taken out of.
Yeah.
Bit like one of Seb's.
He's just blacked out all the fields and had 3 months off. And it's got a pocket in it for your cards or your dagger or your cocaine.
Just to be fair to Stoichkov here, on the website it is a card.
It's a card holder.
He's also got a gold-plated ball necklace with leather strap, which he clearly can't call the Ballon d'Or necklace, but that's what it is.
Oh.
Do you know what? If I'd have won the Ballon d'Or and I had the profile to release a Ballon d'Or necklace, I'd do it. Anything to add?
There is something I'd like to add very quickly, which is that you mentioned about the sort of chest action just now, similar to Ronaldinho. I saw on Twitter this morning somebody had posted a slowed down video of Ronaldinho sort of juggling with his chest and quote tweeted it saying, "Me at my nan's funeral whilst with a balloon whilst my mum and dad are crying in the corner."
Nothing to do with Stoichkov, but a very good story.
That's a very good story.
It's good.
I think we should end it there.
Yeah.
Midfield blunt rotation. I don't know how we're going to get into this apart from James, you got your rolling mat? Seb, you got the herb?
Always. In my sock.
Tommy, not you and me. We'll just have to watch. It's a gateway drug after all. Midfield blunt rotation. It was back. It's been back. It was back a couple of weeks ago and people liked the new way we'd done it and there was a lot of love for it here and there. So it's back again. Sebastian, Dennis White, it's up to you, brother.
So, let's just start right at the very top with this bloody midfield. Andy Sinton, Trevor Stephen, David Batty, David Platt.
Woo! So, we've got Stephen on the right, Sinton on the left, Platt and Batts in the middle.
Well.
Platty and Batty.
We'll come on to that. You'd think that.
Oh, it's Graham Taylor been at the jazz cigarettes again, I think.
As Owen says, this is Graham Taylor and this is England. This is Euro 92. This is the second game in the tournament, largely forgotten, and you will come on to why, but forgotten, sandwiched in between the highs of Italian 90.
Not by the bacon eaters. And
no, true.
Not in Copenhagen, it's not been forgotten.
Oh, bloody, no, God, no.
Not by John Bloody Jensen.
No, I've had the pleasure of speaking to John Jensen about Euro 92, but Graham Taylor is manager of this England team, Euro 92. It's his second game.
Hopes will still be high for Graham.
This is still an amazing team.
How did we get on first game?
This is still, knock it?
0-0 against Denmark.
Okay.
This is a mad midfield, given everything that had happened. So we're not, like I said, 2 years on from Italia 90, your Waddles and your Gascoigne's and that. Things have been, you know, injuries have played their part a little bit.
Fucking hell, so only Platt remains.
Well, exactly. This is it, you see. So let's go through those players just to give a bit of background in case the people don't know who these players are. But Andy Sinton could be described as a journeyman winger, but I think that would be a little bit of a disservice to him because he was a very small, creative and very skillful winger. Did really well in West...
Impish
is a very good description, Owen. Did very well at Brentford, QPR. Probably didn't quite hit the heights he should have done at either Wednesday or Tottenham. And
played at Wolves briefly.
James, oh. I never knew this.
Yeah.
Do you know my thing about Andy Sinton is that for the entirety of his career, he looks like a man who is about to shit himself. He's got a very concerned look on his face. Like that.
And funny enough, obviously, in my research, we were looking at Wikipedia as a starter point. Obviously, we go and look at other sources.
No, we don't.
The picture of him, it looks exactly like that, what Owen's just described.
That's the expression he had in his face for his whole career. Never happy or sad.
So I think it's fair, but this is his peak of it. This moment, this match, is the peak of his career. He's playing for England on a regular basis. Brilliant for QPR. Alongside him in midfield, we've got David Batty.
Almost certainly not a left winger.
What Batty?
Some seen maybe retrospectively as a little bit of a, again, probably not given credit that he's due, not more than the holding midfielder. And actually, during this, I found out that Harry Kuehl did a great interview with Graham Hunter on the Big Interview podcast and actually said, just to give people an idea of what sort of player David Batty was, that he was Makalele before Makalele.
David Batty was fucking brilliant. Yeah. Doesn't give him credit. I mean, he's also star of the greatest ever one video on the internet from his time at Leeds in a pre-season tournament. It might have been after this, might have been before this. Leeds play against Sampdoria.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's
and Batty, for whatever reason, just decides he's going to fucking wind every player on the Sampdoria team up. Roberto Mancini nearly has a fucking heart attack twice. He's that keen to kill him.
Yeah.
Yes. He's doing drag backs, pushing people over fucking hoardings. It's exceptional. Class. There's simply no need for it.
Yeah.
It's in the Makita tournament.
Makita tournament. I was just
exceptional. Yes. Sorry. But David Batty, a wonderful footballer.
And famously a man not into football, right? It was very much just like a job.
Just
for
a job for him.
Him.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's true. He's just gone and been a normal bloke. I don't think he was a who was the left back who played for Spurs?
Asuakota.
He didn't like football.
Benoit. Yeah.
He didn't like football.
I interviewed him. What a lovely bloke.
Just didn't like football.
Just hated, yeah.
No, I think David Batty fucking loved football.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But alongside him, bizarrely, is in centre midfield, is Trevor Stephen. Now, I used to always get Trevor Stephen and Gary Stevens mixed up because I get players mixed up anyway. But
and you know a lot of players. They both a lot to get mixed up.
Yeah, they both played for Everton. They both played for Rangers as well. And they both played for England.
Yeah, it was a pain in the arse. I remember it as well.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I remember you mentioned this before. But he is also, he's normally a little bit outside on the wings.
I always thought he played on the right.
Yeah, so did I. But in this game, he's definitely, I had to double check this because I thought this can't be
maybe
right.
Maybe that was Gary Stevens.
It was definitely Trevor Stephen because I checked. But we'll go on to this in a minute, why he might be playing centre midfield. And then cutting in on the right was David Platt, who would you think would probably be more central and that. But yeah, and obviously we have mentioned David Platt on this podcast before because I think, again, talking about the amazing volley he scored when he's training as a coach at Man City. But again, I think, certainly in my era, one of the best players that I
yeah, tell me about him as a player. As a young listener, all I remember is the Belgian goal.
A hugely underrated
footballer.
He was, so he was at Man United as a kid, and then he didn't make it.
Was he?
Yeah, He went to Vancouver Whitecaps.
Yes. And then Crewe.
Which was quite a weird route at the time. A lot of players went to Vancouver Whitecaps. Yeah. Beardsley did as well.
Beardsley did.
It was also briefly at United, Beardsley.
Yeah.
Very briefly.
Yeah, and then he came back, and then he was at Crewe.
Yeah.
And then Villa.
The Belgian goal is the.
But his career exploded after Man United. He went. He was gone.
Well, he went to Bari, didn't he? And I cannot not see David Platt wearing a Bari shirt without thinking of the amazing Bari badge, which looks just like the Kellogg's logo, but still looks just incredible.
Yes.
But he does so well there that Juventus have signed him this summer. So before the Euros. So this is we've got a player for Marseille, we've got a player for Juventus, and then you've got Sinton. Leeds have obviously just...
Yeah, David Platt.
Leeds have just won the league, haven't they?
David Platt, who's now one of his main jobs is to supply Baggio.
So, I've mentioned it very briefly, but let's just say Graham Taylor has been doing a bit of tinkering. So we've got Trevor Stephen in centre midfield. Sinton's brought in instead of Paul Merson, which was at the time seen as a strange move. Now, France are managed by Michel Platini. Now, you know, the expressive midfielder, you know...
for Crook.
Well,
boo.
Yes. Post-football career.
Yeah.
But France play very defensively and actually almost on the... And England have to play them on the break. Now, this game ends up being a bit of a bore draw because England aren't the most exciting, even though this midfield is playing behind Alan Shearer and Gary Lineker, which you would think any midfield's going to have fun just setting those two up. But for whatever reason, it's not clicking for England at the time, and it doesn't click for England.
I thought they were ships in the night. I didn't realise they played together.
This is what I wanted to talk about.
There was only a couple of games where they played.
Right. Wow.
Well, it was in this tournament. The ships in the night moment happened at this tournament. Yeah.
This is Alan Shearer's his debut appearance in tournament for England. Yeah. But I also thought that they were complete ships in the night. You know when you get your timelines mixed up with the dinosaurs and Jesus?
Yes, exactly.
This game is mostly known for Basil Boley and absolutely fucking nutting Stuart Pearce, I've ever seen.
Nutted the wank out of him.
Exactly.
Absolutely fucking obliterated him.
Not seen by the referee, so he gets away with it. And Stuart Pearce goes off, gets treatment, and in that time, England get a free kick on the edge of the box. Now, Stuart Pearce's adrenaline, one way or another, is absolutely fucking coursing through him. And he goes up and hits, and they wait for him to come back on so he can take the free kick. Honestly, he absolutely hits the fucking hell out of this ball. And it rocket. I'm surprised it doesn't break the crossbar.
Wow.
It bounces back out. England don't score. This game ends 0-0.
No.
England then need to win against Sweden in the next game. So it's not a good result all round. And, you know, this midfield should be doing better. You know, David Platt, again, probably playing out of position. Andy Sinton has a couple of chances. But
fair to say, Seb?
It just doesn't come together.
That Graham Taylor had made his reputation as a direct manager.
Yeah, yeah.
Who relied on wingers, getting the ball forward quickly, recycling the ball, getting into the box, which didn't necessarily translate as well from club level
as it did to international level.
And he was a manager who relied a lot on coaching and he would have spent a lot of time with his players.
Right.
And it probably didn't. Yeah. And then he was so fucking unlucky as England manager.
Oh, he was desperately unlucky.
Shaun of Gascoigne.
Yeah.
For a start. Lineker coming to the end and being injured, like, it was, you know.
He was so unlucky in that Holland game. I know he might not have had done as well as he probably should have done, but in Holland, that Holland game is...
Did you ever meet Graham Taylor?
I didn't, unfortunately. You did, didn't you?
It's never been written about. The interview's never gone anywhere. It was in the bowels of a hotel in Park Lane before the PFA Awards or the LMA Awards. And Graham Taylor was in a tux. It was like going and visiting a fading vaudeville star downstairs before one of their last performances. And he was sat down there in his tux. And I was just dressed like this, I suppose. And I interviewed him and we were going to use it on a video. Never used it. But he was such a fucking lovely human being. And I asked him a bit. I didn't really want to ask him about, you know, the turnip and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but he just said, I didn't do a great job with England, but they crucified me and you shouldn't treat people like that. And I've never forgotten him.
Fair enough. He's right.
And I've...
I nearly melted into his arms.
Fucking hell, man.
Yeah.
And anyone you meet who came across him, all the stuff he did with Elton and, you know, bringing him back from the brink. But we're talking about midfield blunt rotation.
Yeah, so
I can't imagine Graham Taylor would have sparked one up.
Yeah. He wouldn't have done.
Roll us a fatty, Graham. Carlton's about to do something mental. You're going to need this.
Well, he might have done because the midfield in the next game goes completely bonkers. Carlton Palmer, Neil Webb, Tony Daly and David Platt.
Now, that is a nightmare blunt rotation.
Because he changes it completely.
Three changes next game.
Yeah, and then David Batty plays right back in the next game.
Wow.
So it's carnage. Either way.
He's not helping
What
himself.
I love about the four names of this midfield is how interchangeable they are with each other.
Yeah.
So Andy Sinton could quite easily be Andy Batty.
Yeah.
It could be David Sinton.
Yes, yes, yes.
It could be Trevor Platt.
Yes, it's Trevor
and David Stephen. They've all got the same name essentially.
Yes.
And it's incredibly
they're so English, aren't they?
So
English.
Makes you proud, doesn't it?
So English. Not a hint of anything but Anglo-Saxon blood in these.
Not even a little bit of Channel Islands, not even a bit of Guernsey in
Sinton, that might be Italian. Ooh. Might be a shortened Italian name.
Maybe.
Since Tony came over, ran a speech up.
Since Tony came over.
Very good.
If the team sheet was handed in and it was Andy Stephen, David Sinton, Trevor Batty, no one would have blinked an eye.
Yeah, you wouldn't ban Ireland.
I would just finally say that anyone with two first names, with a first name and surname, can't be trusted. But
Me. Yeah. I've got three of the cunts.
Three first names?
I know. People say
first
it's
up
a lot.
Against the wall.
It's not the first time.
Seven people in glasses. We're fucked, Tommy.
Can't be trusted.
Simply can't be trusted. As he sits 3 yards away from someone with three first names and their name.
I knew what I was doing.
Oh, God, yeah.
I can't argue with it. I can't
you
argue
got three.
With it. It's been said.
Are you all right?
Sorry.
We've just done this 2 minutes ago.
Sorry, I didn't realise it was three. I was two.
For me, it's a nightmare. Blunt rotation, to be honest. David Batty will be against drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A cup of tea and a packet of custard cream.
Oh, yeah. David Platt will have, like, maybe tried it once, didn't like it, made his head spin.
In front of Roberto.
Andy Sinton doesn't affect me. Doesn't affect me. Doesn't affect me. 2 minutes later, he's got Pink Floyd on. He's puking out the window. Yes. What about? And I'll leave Trevor Stephen for you, James.
Just fucking rolling. Just rolling.
I think this lot
being in Marseille can fucking knock them out.
I think this lot are a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, I'm with you.
They're all just the same man.
We have our first nightmare blunt rotation.
Mundial joins the dots for football culture. And that's not a boast by us, but the words of an actual subscriber in our most recent reader survey. Why not see what they're on about and have a look at Mundial magazine? 100 pages of global football magic released 4 times a year. It looks great, smells great, and the writing isn't bad either. Go to mundialmag.com or follow the link in the show description to find out more.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right then, 101 things to do in football before you die is James Bird. He's been wearing a fleece for the last month, so he... He might just fucking expire today in a pool of his own dust. But if he doesn't do that in football and die, what is it you want to talk about, James?
The fleece was an airport purchase.
He's a mountain man now, he keeps
saying. I am a mountain man.
You're a mountaineer?
Yeah, just a mountain man.
That's a man.
That is where I belong. Not skiing necessarily. James, not snowboarding.
I was going to say.
Is this because...
It's not that. It's just being in the fucking mountains.
Have you been to
it? Is this because you turn every small task into mentally scaling the face of the Eiger every day?
Nope.
James, I've actually genuinely been up a big fucking mountain with you and you nearly had to go down because you had your altitude.
He got all faint.
I did.
And what you did, I was genuinely concerned.
I did.
What sort of mountain man can't suck the air in?
One, that was a long time ago. And two, it was a very, very high mountain.
Yeah. Oh God, it was fucking wild.
It was fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't scared. I had altitude.
No, it was. I was worried for a while.
Wow. I think I was hungover.
You're a hill guy, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You're
no.
a hill.
No,
you're
no,
hill
no,
guy.
No.
Hill boy.
I am a mountain man.
You're a hill guy.
I'm a mountain man. I've just been in the mountains.
You're a hill guy.
101 things to do in football before you die.
Squeal like a pig.
Squeal, pig, squeal.
Don't, please don't.
Sorry.
Scares disgusting.
Me. Scares me.
Disgusting.
Ed's shaking his head.
Absolutely disgusting.
It is from a film, though. It's not just Tommy's sexual. Yeah, yeah. Sexual peccadillos.
Did you hear Seb go, that scares me. It don't do it.
He
And my dad said, you should watch this film. You should watch this film. So I recorded it. It was on overnight.
How old were you?
Eight. It was on like 11 o'clock at
night. How old were you?
11.
12, 13. And I recorded it. It was off ITV, you know, like ITV late night film. Recorded it. Watched it the next day when on half term. Jesus Christ. Scared the bejesus out of me.
Your dad recommending it is my favourite part.
Yeah, you should watch this. It's brilliant.
101 things to do in football before you die. James Bird.
Hello. It is to really torture old relatives about football. I think I actually learnt this from my dad. So like when all my grandparents were alive, he always used to say, when you go and see them, ask them questions, especially as a couple of them had Alzheimer's and stuff like that. It was just like, ask them, get them to talk about things that they like talking about. And I think that always, that rubbed off on me, shall we say.
What's that?
For a recent issue, I interviewed my dad about football. And I got him to basically talk about the attacks that he'd watched play for Wolves during his life and how they'd affected him in different ways. So he went all the way back to the 60s when he started to go, and it was Kenny Hibbett and whoever else. And then he went forward to Steve Ball, and then he came through to Jimenez and Traore and Jota.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have mentioned it and how much they liked it. So it definitely struck a chord.
Interviewing my own dad, I learned two things. The first one was that I'd never seen him cry before. And my dad, talking about these memories of him being a youngster and then coming right back through to the current day, he started crying in front of me on like whilst I was talking to
him.
And
this was recently, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I realised I'd never seen my own dad cry, and that was quite interesting.
Trod on a nail.
And then the other one was that you know, your parents and your relatives won't be around forever, so you should sort of mine them. For as much interesting information as you can.
Content.
There were two things that I very much learned from my dad by interviewing him. The first one was that his granddad, so my great-granddad, worked on the turnstiles at Molyneux. And when my dad was a kid and he first started going, he'd let my dad underneath the barrier room for free. And that's such a beautiful image for me. And I didn't know. No.
All the games you've been, all the...
People don't talk, do they?
It's amazing, though. No, I think it's brilliant. Though.
English people don't
talk. I bet if you sat down with your dad and just really was like, Dad, what did you... Your dad would have some very interesting stories.
my dad never told me about that Busby thing until I started doing this.
Exactly. And then the other one was that when he was 20 or however old he was, he went on holiday to Marbella's, actually.
your Portugal's.
And him and my uncle, who's his best mate, they had Steve Ball caps with massive horns. You know, sometimes... Me and my dad, I don't know, we bicker a little bit. And I think finding that leveller and that brilliant level of being football in this scenario we're talking about here, you find out so many things you would never know that you'll then keep with you forever. I will keep forever that my great-granddad worked on the turnstiles at Wolves. That's fucking brilliant.
That's brilliant. Yeah,
it's brilliant.
I've also learnt from your dad that you shouldn't waste your bathwater.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. John Bird, a man I like very much from all the times I've met him, would reuse his bathwater by taking it outside to clean the car. And you know what? Yeah. I think that's great.
Ah, especially, even more so in the current age.
Well, exactly.
In big saucepans.
Head of his time.
Big saucepans. Scoop up the dirty bathwater, walk down the stairs with it, and just fucking
launch it at the car.
Launch it all over the fucking Honda.
No. Class.
No. But you are right.
What
James.
A man! What a man!
You'll say that your great granddad worked in the turnstiles. Owen quite often. Who was it? Your relation played.
My dad's great uncle Leo won the FA Cup. Played left back for Wolves.
No,
Collins. Yeah, 1908 FA Cup.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Did you always know that? Early on.
I've known it for since I was 16, 17, I think. I think I remember it for that long. But he died the year my dad was born. But yeah, never career. He played 400 games for like Wolves and someone else.
Wow.
A great moustache in the photo. But my dad also, I mean, he used to play Peter Knowles, who, to anyone who doesn't know, was God's footballer, greatest player Wolves ever had, who retired early because he was a Jehovah's Witness. Before that, was a bit of a shagger by all accounts from what
absolutely.
We heard.
Yeah,
a real about town.
Yeah. Shagger with a fast car.
Shagger with a fast car and a great haircut.
Yeah.
Peter Knowles! He knows his way around a G-string. Drives that Capri like it's a fucking tractor. Anyway, but yeah, he used to play. Peter Knowles used to lodge in a house near my dad's on the Warstones. Well, like my grandparents' house. And they used to go and play and have a fucking play three and in with Peter Knowles. And there was another Wolves player as well, wow. I can't remember.
Amazing.
Oh, it God. Might have been Les Wilson, who roomed with Peter. That'd be a mad circle, wouldn't it?
It could have been Mr. Wilson.
Star. That'd be a mad circle. But you're right, and I don't have many memories of my dad's dad. And, you know, him and my dad didn't get on very well at all. But I do, the memories I do have, we would go and my dad would sit in the back room and talk to his mom and smoke fags, and me and my brother would go sometimes through and talk to my dad's dad in the front room.
Yeah.
And the only thing he'd talk about was Wolves.
Yeah.
That was the only thing he'd talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, look, I mean, there's generations of fucking men especially, but now, you know, who are bonded through football. And we've talked about it before without that, but it solidifies something, doesn't it, as a...
Yeah.
There's three or four now in my family, like five nephews, three are Man United fans, one... But every time I go home, like, when I read everything, the whole latest issue this week, and when I read that, that was the first thing I thought of, like, going home. Every time I go home, my dad's there, one of his grandkids... And it's always just football. That's it. That's all we talk about. Three generations.
Yeah.
It starts a conversation that can then lead to other conversations. Yeah, I think that's what's important. Can lead to
cricket. Films.
Footballers playing cricket.
But when I ask my dad about
cricketers playing football.
Botham, basically.
Ian Botham at Yeovil and Scunthorpe. Yeah. But, do you know Steve Agruzovic? Yes, he played for Shropshire cricket.
Jack Wright.
My dad's quite a stoic man, you know, and when this can open up ways into talking about our emotions and feelings.
Like you said, I went to a number of games with my granddad, and I would never really spoke. Uncle Ernie, we used to go with back in the day, my granddad's brother. And unfortunately, he died quite when I was quite young, and I never got to talk to him about that. And you do have like snippets of conversation when you go into games, but then the game takes over or the post-match drink takes over. And actually just sitting down, cup of tea in the front room or whatever, or nursing home.
Yeah, I used to go and see my nan in the nursing home, and I'd always just ask her about like her childhood and about what she was like when she grew up. Well, and you just learn a lot.
My nan, she nearly passed last year, but then she's good now and she's in a nursing home. She was quite lonely for 10 years, and she quickly got charge of the remote control in the room. And go in, they're all watching the fucking Women's World Cup. She's putting that on, and all old women, about 10 of them, between 80 and 100 probably, and they're all just fucking cheering for the Lionesses.
Yeah, some of my favourite memories, anyway, talking to my nan, but when we went on holiday, she'd like, you know, get us to light her fags when we were seven and stuff like that and drink a martini, which, you know, isn't ideal, but she grew up in rural Wales and was, you know...
Sounds like my nan.
But she would... We would, like, mine her for stories on growing up in rural Wales, and it was all these characters and people like that, and it's great. And, you know, if football's thrown in, even better. 101 things you should do in football before they die.
I mean, that's really fucking good, though.
Brilliant.
Think about it.
Oh, man.
Introducing The Hattrick, a new subscriber newsletter from Mundial. Each week, there'll be three stories linked by a theme. Stories from islands, stories about people, stories about heroes, stories about villains, stories about love, hope, despair, joy, and, of course, goals. Go to mundialmag.com to sign up to The Hattrick now.
Ins and outs, outs and ins. James Bird, go.
Oh, back to the mountains for the mountain man.
up the reekin he goes.
Yeah. There was Primrose Hill. There was there was a moment. So for a little bit of context, I recently went to the Italian Alps because my wife's family have got a tiny, tiny one-bedroom cabin there that they've had up there for 50 years. We went up there, beautiful snow, and we went for a walk at one point, and we went for lunch at this like refugio, like a sort of farmhouse place for people who are going on walks and need somewhere to stay. And we put my daughter back in the car and put my two friends in the back, closed both doors. And Mathilde got into the front door of the car and shut the door. And I suddenly realised that for the first time in fucking, I don't know, since when, it was completely silent. And I just walked to the edge of the mountain and closed my eyes for like 5 seconds. And I was like, I'm going to fucking try as hard as I can to remember what this sounds like.
Yeah, I'm with you on this.
So just appreciating silence. If you can get into a position, into a place where you can have fucking 5 seconds, close your eyes, and then just fucking try and remember it.
Yeah, I do this all the time.
There's a great, I think it's Rodney Dangerfield joke, which says like, going on holiday with my wife and kids and put them all in the car, walk round to the other side. It's like, that's my fucking holiday.
That's right.
I don't get no respect.
Just
enjoy the silence.
Yeah.
Anyway, my in this week is spontaneously getting tattooed. Not spontaneously. As a man who didn't have any ink, as is modern parlance, for about 30 years, because I wanted to avoid the clocks and sleeves and all that.
I got one and then you got right back on it.
Yeah.
The timeline's matched. The timeline's matched, but leave it there.
I'm not sure yours are really tattoos. To be honest, looks like Tom Bird's just drawn them on. Anyway,
that's called style, bro.
I couldn't believe how much you paid for them. He's had you. I thought he was a mate. Anyway,
they were expensive.
I was in London. I came to have an haircut. Went to it was in between Christmas and New Year. Went for something to eat, and I thought, oh, should I go and have a look in a couple of tattooists? But I never know what I want anymore, and I can't be arsed. But there was a few I sort of had in my head. Went in this fucking studio upstairs, started talking to a bloke. He showed me some of his designs and I was like, oh, could you draw me this? And he went, yeah. Drew it, done. Back up next Thursday. Fucking on you go.
Brilliant.
It's the best way.
And now he's DMing me to try and get...
And this is the big reveal. Owen, take your top off.
And now he's...
is my face on his chest?
It's not on my chest.
Like Partridge in his Stalker.
Yes.
It's not on my chest.
Oh, no.
You did do a big reveal in the office the other day, to be fair.
It's on my...
We were on our own.
It's on your ass.
So when I bend over, you smile.
Padded football seats.
Padded football sales, and you bloody mean.
Yeah. Yeah, just a padded cell with a football. Where's Seb? He's there again. Fair enough.
Has he got his mitre delta?
Yeah.
But he keeps trying to play rebounds, and it just stops when it hits the wall. No, you're not heading it. Kicking it, you've
no, both. But yeah, oh, God.
Anyway, padded football seats.
Padded football seats. So I've been fortunate recently to be invited on a couple of games where the seats are padded, shall we say.
Odd prawn sandwich white.
This is for when fucking...
And I have to say, there's a real comfort and pleasure to be found in a nice padded seat.
Do you know what I'm going to say? Out.
Yeah.
No, not in.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah.
I would say...
Because it's the toryification of Seb White and I'm going to stop it.
Well, it is.
He doesn't even realise he's doing it anymore.
Seb, no. I'm shocked and gutted that you put that in.
Can I... There's a caveat to all this, though.
You've got piles. You've got an ingrowing hair.
There's two caveats to this. The old farmers can be proof discomforting for me old Aris.
Have you got piles?
Second, yeah.
Have you?
Suppositories are much better than cream, everyone. Suppositories are much better than cream and a bit of fun as well.
Did you not just push them back up with your finger?
No.
Don't you?
No. Oh, what I'm saying
is... but now you've gone fucking top flight Terry again. You were all right when you were non-league. Now look
top
at you.
Top flight Terry.
It's not necessarily the Toryfication of you. It's the Chelseafication of you.
Yeah.
Okay,
I
fair
think
enough.
So, Joe.
One thing leads to another. Yeah. It's all good, well and good supporting the women's team. They've got some brilliant players.
Tell me.
February 1st, which was... recently, I was celebrating my 3 years of sobriety. And I know Owen covered this recently
I didn't cover yours.
Owen covered his own recently, a few months ago on the podcast. And yeah, fucking hell, never thought I'd get here. Never ever thought I'd be sober. And
the three-peat?
Well done.
The three-peat, yeah.
Zizou would be proud.
No, well done.
Yeah, you know. But the most rewarding messages and you know, not about like... It's great doing a football podcast, great working with you guys, but when people say that you just subtly or normally or openly talk about your sobriety, you and Owen, that's the most helpful thing, and that's helped me stop or me think about stopping drinking. So I would recommend it if you're struggling, all the usual stuff like that. But yeah, it's been great for me.
Top work.
Happy to be here.
Well done.
Love congrats, all. Tommy.
Well done, both.
Is that in?
Get in.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy sobriety is in, yes.
Thank you.
It's a given. Now, on to the insensitive James Bird.
can't.
We've let him wank on about a fucking piece he's already had time in the mag. Time he's talked about his sobriety and Birdo's. Oh, getting a pint.
Oh, but they're nice, aren't they?
What? Wait, James could never be an alcoholic. He's never been able to drink more than two.
So, Tommy, congratulations. I do think that's excellent. I'm very proud of you. But my out is people being rude to the people working beyond the bar when you're getting a pint at halftime at a football match.
Yeah. Where was this?
It was at Brentford, actually, away.
But in the they quite good at Brentford service-wise, I think?
I think the service...
Was it Wolves fans?
Yeah, of course it was Wolves fans. Yeah. Just being rude. Oh, look at the head on that. And they've got to stand there with a load of fucking stinky, drunk football
coked
fans.
Up.
Darren from Briley Heath.
Darren from Briley Heath. You might be my friend, but just be nice.
Yeah.
Don't be
rude. He wouldn't be a friend. You wouldn't hang around with anyone from Briley Heath called Darren.
I might.
You got away from the Midlands because of that. You got away, got yourself a fancy girlfriend and a different life, so you didn't have to hang around with people called Darren from Briley Heath. So did I.
I might see when I go in for Christmas.
Wolves fans out. to me. Oxygen absorbers in snacks. Do you know what they are?
No.
You get certain snacks, your fucking seaweed snacks, your biltongs and things like that.
Yeah.
And in there, they have those little packets. You know why I don't like them?
I'm glad
they're in there because they keep the food I'm about to eat moist. But often with like your biltong or something like that, I quite like to drink them. Get them you drink a bag of crisps. Get it in. Then you get two hands. You're doing something else. No, I haven't done it.
Oh, phew.
I don't think I'd die, but I don't want to try.
No.
And they're a pain in the arse and they're all over my desk.
Yeah. But they look like little snus things, do they?
Yes.
Yes. I know.
Just little plastic packets in a snack.
In like seaweed. Yes.
Yeah. You put them in between your gums, don't you, Seb?
In between his bum.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't.
They're out. Seb.
In a recent podcast, I spoke about me developing a big love of the Big Bash League. And I watched it when I was in Australia. I watched it all the time when I came back. Even had it on my phone, on my desk sometimes. And Owen going, what are you fucking doing? Really invested in it. Really got into it. I had the Big Bash app on my phone.
You had a picture with your fucking... with a bucket the Big on
Bash
your head.
The Big Bash app on your phone. You've had that on there for a while, I mean. Yeah.
Private browsing. I completely got my days wrong and timings wrong, and I completely missed the final of the team that I've been gunning for these whole few weeks, and they bloody won it.
You weren't happy.
I only found out on a text message from Australia. So after they'd won it, I was gutted. I missed out on that glory.
So you might
too comfy on your padded seat.
Absolutely crestfallen. I was
dates, times, and being disorganised. Seb's job is literally to be good with dates, times, and be organised. And if you wonder sometimes why there's a frisson in this room, out. Tommy.
Phone calls. Unless they're with Seb. Because I like a little phone call with Seb. We have a couple a week.
But on the Big Bash app.
That took that to Matt Paul's tall, isn't he? Why don't you like phone calls?
I've just become too modern. I like texts, I like emails, I like Instagram, but they just make me uncomfortable. Certain family members, certain friends, I just feel, when I see it, I'm just like, nah.
I never answer, I know what you mean, but every time I then do have a phone call for something in a work perspective I need, I realise it's the best way. People can ignore emails, they can't ignore you talking to him. I had a great call recently about an article I'm doing with a fellow journalist who's helping me out, and we fucking talked for about 45 minutes and it made me realise how much I want to write the piece. If I'd have done that over email,
which is why I love this job and I love talking to Seb about this job on the phone.
Yeah. What do you two talk about?
Big Bash.
Production. Logistics. Okay, what logistics? Clips. What are you doing? Building Legos? Building Lego?
Feedback.
getting the fucking running orders out.
Come on, give me some more.
Phone calls are not out.
It's not easy to produce an award-winning podcast, you know.
Exactly, brother.
That's why we got two of you.
BBC have fucking six.
And Ed, fucking
hell. Six or seven.
Yeah, exactly.
Most of them have fucking loads of the cunts.
They all only have one fucking proper host, don't they? So remember that. Anyway, this is Reminding You Why You Love Football. I've been Owen Blackhurst. He's been James Bird. He's been Seb White. He's been Tommy Stewart. He's been Ed. Recorders ever at Spiritland. Monday I'll have always got issues of our magazine out. You can subscribe to it digitally. You subscribe to newsletters. You can buy print issues. There is fucking so much stuff you can buy. We can't even keep up with it ourselves. You'll have seen some of the marketing out there on the internet, some of the paid social, some of the organic social. Just buy it.
Yeah.
Monday I'll has always got issues.
Please leave us a review. Please share. Please rate. Keep them coming. Keep listening. Keep telling other people about it. Thank you very much.
Reminding You Why You Love Football is a Monday Owl and Football co-production. Produced by Tommy Stewart and Seb White, hosted by me, Owen Blackhurst, and recorded on the run.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.